Good evening. Isn't it wonderful that we're able to connect with people from all over the world through the technology that God has created for us? It's a wonderful report. If you are able, can I invite you to stand as we give ear to the reading of God's very own word? The passage comes from Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading the second part of the Lord's Prayer, verses 11 to 13. It is printed in your bulletin on page 5. And this is the very word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the field. Amen. Please be seated. Father, again, we turn to you and ask that your Spirit would lead our reflection upon these words. Help me, Lord, by your Spirit, to speak only what you would have us to hear this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. When my eldest daughter was about 15 years old, she struggled with chronic headaches, nausea, and stomach pain. In fact, she would come home several times during the quarter of school because of these symptoms. And we've done what every parent does when their child is sick. We worried. The doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. And after several months, the symptoms continued again and again. And we asked ourselves, is it stress? Is it an allergy? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? We just didn't know. And I remember specifically one evening I was walking by her room and I saw her on her bed just writhing in pain, screaming, crying. And I thought to myself, I need to go in and pray for her. And then immediately another thought entered my mind. But would it do any good? Have you ever thought this way about prayer? We confess that God is sovereign and that he governs, controls all the affairs of our life, but how often do we live as if he's actually very far away and unconcerned about our daily fears and struggles? Well, our passage today is the second half of the Lord's Prayer, and there is a perspective, a theology that this prayer assumes. It assumes that God is, in fact, not far away, but in fact very much involved in the affairs of our daily life. But you see, it also assumes that those who are engaged in kingdom advance will face opposition. And so if we can imagine that we are in a war, and these petitions are in fact battle prayers, then we would identify the first three petitions that we reflected on this morning as more offensive type of prayers. Calling upon God as Father, praying that his name would be hallowed, asking that his kingdom would come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Offensive prayers. And so as I reflect on these last three petitions, I see them more as defensive prayers in this great battle that we're engaged in. We ask that God would provide us with daily bread. We ask that he would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We ask that he would deliver us from temptation and the evil one. And so these three petitions, these last petitions that we'll reflect on tonight, bring into focus the very things that we fight against in our desire to see kingdom advance. What are those three things? First, worry. Second, conflict. And third, the evil one, or the devil. And so we'll focus on these three petitions tonight. What are we essentially praying when we're asking God for daily bread? We're asking God for his sustaining provision for life. Not just physical bread, but everything that we need to live. Why does he want us to pray this way? Because he knows one of the biggest barriers to fully engaging in kingdom advancement is our worry, is our fear of providing for our daily needs. Of course, as we mentioned before, as we ask for daily bread, we're praying for all that we need for life. Now, one of the hardest things that our family struggled with as we began our missionary journey was the discomfort that we felt as we thought about this whole idea of fundraising. We were always taught as we grew up to work hard, provide for ourselves, and give to others. And so the idea of depending upon others for our daily needs was really foreign. It was actually quite challenging. Needless to say, we gave in to fears, to worries, to anxieties, and I'll be the first to say it didn't help. But what did help was reminding ourselves of God's promises and His faithfulness. Later on in this very chapter, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches His disciples more explicitly. What does He tell them? "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the..." That's right, kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so Jesus reminds us that we have a good Father who is more than capable of providing for all of our needs. You know, one of the hidden blessings of becoming a missionary and engaging in asking, inviting the church to participate in His kingdom mission is that it makes this simple petition that we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," so much more meaningful and impactful. It helped expose my idols of pride, self-sufficiency, and it, at the end of the day, just made me a much more grateful person. Now, here's the truth. Whether we are on support or not, we are all dependent upon God for our daily bread. And so as we pray this petition, this battle petition, we're directed to the one who is the source of all that we have and all that we need. And when we acknowledge this, then we're able to trust, I mean, really trust in His provision. And then we experience this freedom to engage in His kingdom building work, however, wherever, and whenever He should call us. What is the second phrase? "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In other words, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This, beloved, is the antidote to kingdom-destroying conflict. What is the number one reason that missionaries leave the field? Conflict with other missionaries or national partners. Why do pastors, many of them, leave the ministry? Why do members leave the church? Conflict with other believers. And so the remedy for conflict among brothers and sisters is not avoidance. It's not gossip. It's not running them out of our lives, but it's forgiveness. It's reconciliation. It's restoration. When we first moved to Cambodia, I was the team leader and quickly experienced a team conflict with one of my other members. In fact, it was the only other member of my team. It was my wife. You see, I was charging ahead with ministry, making decisions, expecting my teammate just to simply get on board with my decisions. She wanted to take care of some basic things before we jumped into the thick of ministry, little things like finding a house, you know, settling our kids, learning the language, you know, little details like that. And we fought so hard those early years in ministry. Those early conflicts almost sent us home. It almost destroyed our marriage. So needless to say, we know all too well, do we not, how conflict can hinder kingdom advancement. And so you see, this petition that we pray first directs us to who? To God, right? The one that we ultimately offend. And when we recognize that in this prayer, we need first God's forgiveness in order to forgive others. It is when we receive God's grace and when we receive His forgiveness, we're put in the proper frame of mind and spirit to readily forgive others. Because we recognize that we have done or are certainly capable of doing much worse than what they have done to us. Right after this prayer, Jesus gives this commentary, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In other words, there is this connection between God's forgiveness for our sins and our forgiving spirit towards others. Evidence of a life that has been forgiven is a life that forgives freely, lavishly, generously. But not only does reconciliation and restoration free us to engage in kingdom advancement, it is probably the most powerful testimony or demonstration of kingdom power and presence. Think about it. When the world sees God's people confess, repent, and forgive each other, they see the gospel at work. And so we are encouraged not only to pray for God's forgiveness for us, but for gospel reconciliation, forgiveness, restoration with others. Final phrase. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I would translate this, the evil one. And so not only are conflicts with other brothers and sisters barriers to kingdom advance, but also temptations and attacks from the devil. And so in this last petition, what are we asking? We are asking that God would keep us from those things that draw us away from kingdom life, kingdom priorities, kingdom ethics, kingdom values. What are those things? Hypocrisy. Storing our treasure here on earth. Serving money rather than God. Worrying about life, what to eat, drink, or wear. These are the specific things that Jesus mentions in his teaching towards his disciples in this chapter. I might add, in our own context, temptations to cynicism, doubt, anger, gossip, fear, depression. And these temptations are real and they were powerful and they affect us. In this petition, we are also asking God to deliver us from the devil. And as followers of Jesus, we will and have been attacked by the evil one. And so this prayer helps us to recognize that we do have an enemy. We have an enemy, and it's not our spouse. It's not our brothers and sisters. It's not our leaders. It is the devil. And he seeks to discourage us, and he seeks to deceive us, and he seeks to destroy us. What I fear is that we live in a context that it's easy to forget about these truths, to be blinded to the realities that we are, in fact, in reality, engaged in a spiritual battle. When we were serving in Cambodia, my wife, who was a family practice physician, was serving at the Mercy Medical Clinic, a free clinic in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. It was the end of the day, and the nurse asked her, "Would you like to see just one more patient? Would you be willing to?" She's complaining about a toothache. And my wife was puzzled, thinking that, well, if she has a toothache, why wouldn't she see the dentist? But then agreed reluctantly to say, sure, I'm happy to see her. And as she was waiting, there was a lot of commotion in the waiting room. There was all this sound, and then all of a sudden this cheering and this clapping, and she was confused about what was happening out in the waiting room. And one of the missionary colleagues came in and explained to her what had happened. This older woman who was suffering with a toothache was writhing on the ground in pain, and sounds and voices were coming out of her that they couldn't explain. And immediately the evangelistic Cambodian team came and surrounded her, our Cambodian brothers, and they recognized immediately what was going on. They've seen it many times before. It was a demon possession. And so they confronted the demons in this woman, and they asked them, what do you want to do with this woman? And the demons responded, and they said, we want her to take us to some mountain. And then the team said, no, you can't. You must leave her in Jesus' name. And then the demons responded, where shall we go? He said, well, there's a lot of temples. Why don't you go to the one of the temples? And then they all began to pray and pray and pray. And after their prayers, the woman's face changed and her countenance changed, and the demons had left. And that's when everybody in the room started to cheer, started to clap, started to rejoice at the power of the name of Jesus. After this, the nurse asked my wife, are you now still willing to see the patient alone? She said, yes, I guess it should be okay as long as the demons are gone. Beloved, if there's anything that will awaken us to engage in kingdom advancing work, it is the reality of our enemy and his attacks. And so this petition for deliverance reminds us that we are in a battle against principalities and powers, and therefore are to engage with them with these kingdom prayers. But do these prayers give us victory over worry, conflict, and the devil? No, not in and of themselves. There's nothing magical about these words. They're not incantations. But what they do is draw us to the one who does give us victory over worry, conflict, and the devil. These petitions direct us to Jesus. You see, Jesus is the bread of life, who comes from heaven. He is our daily bread. And he gives us victory, daily victory over our worries and fears. And because Jesus paid in full by his sacrificial death on the cross all of our sins, we are forgiven when we ask the Father for forgiveness. And it is his lavish grace for us that inspires us to be gracious to others. Jesus gives us victory over kingdom-destroying conflict. And though we are tempted and attacked by the evil one, we are not defeated. We are, in fact, more than conquerors, because Jesus, our resurrected Lord, has given us victories over temptation and the power of the devil. Do we believe this? As we pray these petitions, we are directed to Jesus. Jesus is the one who frees us from our worry. Jesus is the one who frees us from our conflict. Jesus is the one who gives us victory over our temptations and the evil one. And so when we pray this familiar prayer, we begin to adopt more and more the kingdom mindset, the kingdom perspective that it assumes. And the more that we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the more bold and free we become to begin to consider how God might actually use us to advance his kingdom work. Literally, a world of opportunities opens up. And we might just find ourselves proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom in places where there is only darkness, only brokenness, fear, and injustice. We might find ourselves more invested in sending and supporting the work of God's kingdom than investing in our own. It has been so encouraging to hear how folks have responded to the coronavirus by saying, I am not worried about myself getting the virus, but I am very concerned about the most vulnerable. And so I am willing to make sacrifices and endure inconveniences. Well, it's a beautiful picture of social responsibility and of love for neighbor, is it not? But as I reflected, I thought, is the coronavirus really the most serious threat the world is facing today? No. There is, in fact, a much greater threat, and that is those who are not right with God will have to one day face his holy wrath and judgment. And we who belong to Jesus might say, well, I'll be okay. My sins are forgiven and Jesus' righteousness is put on my account. But what about others? What about the most vulnerable? What about those who don't even have access to the good news of Jesus Christ? And so what inconveniences are we willing to give up for them? What sacrifices are we willing to make for them? Beloved, engaging in missions is the most beautiful picture of social responsibility and love for neighbor. And so let me encourage you to sign up and enlist in this great spiritual battle, armed with these battle petitions. Pray with me, if you will. O Lord, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, that your name would be hallowed, and that your kingdom would come, and that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.